Today we continue our series, Possible, Making the Impossible Possible. And today we're delving into the Gospel of Mark and looking at one of the miracles of Jesus who cures a blind man at Bethsaida. Now, we've learned these last few weeks about a few things about miracles. Miracles are not inspiring stories in the Bible locked away from long time ago, but they are indeed the activity of God in the world right now. A miracle is something that changes us. It either requires faith or it strengthens our faith. And we've learned about miracles that sometimes God says no. And that's hard for us. But God knows better than we do. And so we have to learn to trust God. And sometimes that is the miracle. We've also learned that God puts us in places and equips us for us to be the miracle in somebody else's life. That God has given us everything we need to be the miracle for someone else. And last week, we learned that God always has the last word. And our responsibility is to trust God enough to exercise our faith enough to imagine more than the life that we have settled for right now. God often works in a suddenly season. Things look like they're going one way, but then God shows up and does something different. So today in Mark chapter 8, we have to understand this scripture and this miracle in context, or else it's just a really strange story that happens in the lives of the people called Christian. Jesus is kind of having it out with the disciples. They have fed the 5,000. Jesus has walked on water. He's had to pick up Peter out of the water, O ye of little faith. He has healed sick up and down the corridor of the Galilean Sea. And he has taught them what it means to be a leader, what it means to be an elder, what it means to lead God's people. And yet the disciples still don't get it. And on the other hand, the Pharisees, the church leaders, the people who are supposed to get it, they're poking at Jesus and they're getting angry with Jesus because he's cutting into their bottom line. Free health care? Huh. That's the work of the temple. That's how we make our money. Getting people to bring their sacrifices for prayers and healing potions. Jesus is becoming the enemy of the state and the enemy of the church. And the disciples are getting nervous and they just can't understand what's going on. So Jesus says, do you still not perceive or understand? Do you still not know what's going on here after you have seen so many miracles? We fed the 5,000 and you had 12 baskets of bread left over. We fed the 4,000 and you had 7 baskets of bread left over. Why can't you understand what's going on here? And then a man comes up to him in Bethsaida. And we've been there before, don't you remember? Jesus did some other miracles in Bethsaida. And you remember that Beth means what? Son of. And Seda means bread. And so in the place of bread, Jesus has fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, and there have been signs and wonders and miracles. And so yet another group of people bring their friend to Jesus, expecting something to happen. So in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, it says they came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we've come expecting a word from you, not a word from Jasmine. So Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me and fall fresh on us. Make everything that is said and heard a word from you, oh God, because we need you to speak right now. Hide this your servant behind that old rugged cross, so that everything that is said and everything that is heard comes straight from you. This is your servant's prayer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Huh? Was that your reaction to the scripture today? Because it was my reaction to the scripture. What? There's so much going on here that doesn't make sense. You have to sort of step back and say, what's really going on? Most people are confused by the double healing that takes place here. What's going on? Jesus couldn't do it the first time? And then other people are confused by the go home, but don't go back in the village, when Jesus has just told some other people, go and tell everybody what's happening. It seems to be a set of contradictions, a backpedaling of sort to Jesus' ministry. But this is the kind of text for the people who like to dig in. For the people of God who are not just casual droppers into the scriptures, but folks who are soaked in the word of God and who understand that there's more going on here than what we see on the surface. Just imagine. You've been following Jesus around and around the Sea of Galilee, and he has been healing people left and right. And even last week, this lady just touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed. And then you come up to Jesus, and you bring your friend because you've seen what Jesus can do. You know that Jesus can heal people. You know that Jesus does signs and wonders. You know that there's something different about this rabbi, this teacher, than the ones who run the temple. And you're trying to get your friend to him, and he takes your friend by the hand. The translated word here is he took the blind man by the hand. But in the Greek, it is he seized the blind man. He grabbed him and he dragged him out of the village. away from prying eyes, away from pomp and circumstance, away from propaganda, away from Fox News and CNN, away from Channel 2 and Fox 5, away from anybody who might have some commentary about what's going on here. And when he gets him out of the village and away from the people, he puts some saliva on his eyes. And he says, "What do you see?" And the man, who has been completely and totally blind, I imagine it was sort of like, if I take my glasses off, I just see colors, not many shapes. Something is better than nothing, right? To go from being in total darkness to being able to see the light. To go from having to be led around to do anything or go anywhere to at least being able to get yourself to the place that might have been like a restroom, or to wash your hands or wash your feet for yourself. That would have been a miracle all on its own. But Jesus says that's not quite enough. That just being able to see dimly or blurry, just to see the shapes and not the details, is not enough. And some of the theological scholars will say that this two-step healing is because Jesus was tired. Because the people had been pulling at him, needing more, wanting more and more and more and more from him, Mary. We don't know anything about that, do we? They said that maybe Jesus needed a nap, and his power was tired too. And some of the other theological scholars say that Jesus was, he was tired of the pomp and circumstance, of the spectacular and all of the fireworks going off every time he healed somebody, every time he touched somebody or somebody touched him. And yet still other scholars will say that the blind man's faith was not strong enough to receive the full power of the healing. And while I'm not a theological scholar of that brand, I tend to disagree. I think the answer comes before the miracle and after the miracle. Jesus is teaching the disciples a more excellent way. Jesus is teaching you and me and all of those around us that so many times we walk around with dim and blurry vision and we think we have met the best of what God can do in our lives. We're walking around not even scraping the top of the matter. We're walking around not knowing even half of the story. We're walking around settling for what we think is God's best, and we haven't even scratched the surface on what God can do. We're walking around around seeing poorly. We're walking around seeing blurry. We're walking around thinking we know, but God knows we don't know anything at all. We're walking around as if we have it all together. Oh, you don't hear me this morning. I'm working hard up here. Jesus has just said to the disciples who have again showed up unprepared, "We don't have any bread, Lord." What do you mean you don't have any bread? Haven't we talked about this? Well, why are we having the same conversation over and over again? Why are we wondering if God cares? Why are we wondering if God is hearing us? Why are we wondering if God is going to show up? Why are we wondering if God is capable of miracles right here and right now? Why are we wondering if God loves us? Why are we wondering if God loves our neighbor? Why are we wondering if God loves our children? Why are we wondering what God is doing right now when we know what God is doing right now? Jesus said to them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and fail to see? Do you have ears and fail to hear? Do you not remember?" When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? And 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you collect? Do you not yet see? What's blocking your vision? What is standing in the way of you being able to see God's best for your life? What has you stuck? What has you thinking that what you settled for is the best that God can do? That's the anti-miracle. Because miracles are physical manifestations of our spiritual health. So if we have settled for the least that God can do, then we know that our spiritual health is in trouble. God doesn't mean for miracles to be spectacular spectacles that we parade around for everybody to see and hear. Miracles are a spiritual matter. It's not about what they see. It's not about what they say. It's not about what they hear. It's about what God is doing in your soul. Stop being so concerned about what everybody else is doing. Stop being so concerned about what everybody else is saying. Stop being concerned about what everybody else is throwing at you, and be concerned about what God is doing in your life. That's why we miss so many miracles today. We're looking for the fireworks. We're waiting for the drum major to announce the presence of God. And the whole time, God is working in the whisper, away from the crowd, outside of the village. And it's not, poof, genie in the bottle, ask and it is given. But it is a journey of trusting and obeying God, of loving God and God's people, of growing deeper and stronger in our faith, so that our vision is adjusted, so that we see not what is right in front of us, but we see clearly the things of God. The truth of the matter is that some aren't in need of a miracle. They're in need of an attitude adjustment. God has already done the miracle, and we missed it because our attitudes are messed up. We missed it because we had to have it our way. It had to be done on our timeline. It had to be done the way that we would have done it, or the way that we wanted it done. And so we missed the miracle because our attitude was out of alignment. I go to the eye doctor once a year. Do you know about the eye doctor? Y'all, I like to go to the eye doctor like people like to go to the dentist. I don't mind the dentist, but I can't stand the eye doctor. I don't want anything in my eyes. I don't want anything anywhere near my eyes. And those drops, y'all can keep that. But the problem is, I haven't been able to see since I was in the second grade. And as soon as you turn 40, they throw these invisible lines in your glasses. And then you're adjusting to which side is up. But that doesn't happen unless you get in the eye doctor's chair. And when you get in the eye doctor's chair, they put this little machine on your face, and it's got two little holes in it, and there's a page on the wall with random letters, and they go click, 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 one or two. I don't know. Why don't you know? Don't you have some computer that could just be like, zoop, zoop, it's two. Okay, two or one? I thought this was one. And they do it a couple times, and it flies through, and you're like, whoa, 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 go back. That one was good. And you never quite get back to there. But then you go and get some new glasses. And you're like, oh, that's Dr. Bob. Ruby's out there looking great in her Love First, Atlanta First shirt. And all of a sudden, what you couldn't see at all, or what you could see just a little bit, if you squinted really hard, you can see clearly now. Jesus did not leave the blind man with just a little bit of vision. Jesus went back to the blind man, and he put his hands on his eyes, and he stared at him intently, and he said, "What do you see now?" And I imagine that the blind man, who was going to be okay with being able to see just a little bit, I imagine that maybe tears started rolling down his face. And he said, "I can see everything clearly now." Be careful who you listen to. Because those conversations in our little bubbles can confuse us. We can start to think that what we're hearing in our little bubble is the word of God. We can start to think that settling is the promise of God. We can start to think that just seeing the people walk around looking like trees is the best that God can do. We start thinking that the miracle is for everybody else. We can start thinking that if I don't take care of myself, then I won't be taken care of. Make sure you don't confuse the bubble conversation for God's word in your life. Because if you do that, you'll get stuck at step one and you'll never make it to step two. Healing is hard. It's hard physically. Will I ever get back to where I was? And it's hard spiritually, because healing spiritually requires that we wrestle with the difficulty of countercultural living. It means that when we are in the bubble, we don't get to talk like everybody else. When we are in the bubble, we don't get to act like everybody else. It reminds us that we have to push through the noise and push through the crowds so that we can hear and see Jesus clearly. Keep on settling. Maybe blurry is enough for you. Maybe fence setting is enough for you. Maybe being a good person is enough. But I'm standing here to tell you today that there is more. And the more comes when you push through the crowds and you push through the noise and you stand firmly for Jesus Christ. The more comes when you realize that God has made God's people in God's image, and it's not your job to determine who is worthy or not. The more comes when we understand that God has given us little children as a gift, and we ought to be breaking our backs and our banks to make sure that they can read and that they have a place to live and that they can eat every day. Seeing clearly comes when we understand that our politics are not our religion. Seeing clearly comes when we understand that God has put us right here, right now, to love God's people and to get out of God's way. Seeing clearly comes when we stop skipping church on Pride Sunday. You can say ouch. I told you. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. Because you're just not sure. Let me help you be sure. The Bible says that God has made each and every one of us in the image of God. The Bible says that we have one job, and that is to love God and to love God's people. That's red letters. Words of Jesus. And if we can't figure that out, we're never going to get to the seeing clearly part. What do you want? You want the spit that only gets you halfway? Or you want the touch that gets you the whole way? It's up to you. God has both and is willing to give you what you want. The Apostle Paul ended 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know, the love chapter. He ended the love chapter saying, right now we see dimly, like a reflection in a mirror. We're not getting the whole picture. But we will meet Jesus face to face. And when we meet God face to face, we will see clearly. And we will see the whole picture. And when we see the whole picture, we will figure out that three things remain. Three things are the bottom line in our life: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Ready to see clearly? It's up to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen.